Good day from Wall Street. This is Juan Costello, senior analyst with the Wall Street Analyzer. Joining us today is Jeff Baxter, the CEO for VBI Vaccines Incorporated. The company trades on NASDAQ, ticker symbol VBIV, and on the Toronto Stock Exchange, VBV. Thanks for joining us today there, Jeff.
Great. Thanks very much, Juan, and thanks very much to the Wall Street Analyzer for the opportunity.
Good to have you on. So starting off, can you give us a history and overview there?
Sure. So VBI Vaccines, as you said, publicly quoted company on NASDAQ. We have actually become public through a number of mergers and transactions, the most recent of which led us to acquiring a commercial stage prophylactic hepatitis B vaccine, which is approved in a number of markets outside of North America and Europe. And that was our recent announcement, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. Prior to achieving that acquisition of that asset, we are a company that focuses on both prophylactic and therapeutic vaccines in the infectious disease and the immuno-oncology space. And we do that through the use of our proprietary vaccine platform, which is a third-generation enveloped virus-like particle platform.
Great. So, yeah, bring us up to speed on some of the recent news there, including the meeting with the regarding the IND for the FDA.
Yeah, so we're really excited about the opportunity to bring Sci-B-Vac, a third-generation prophylactic hepatitis B vaccine, to the North American markets and the European markets. This product has been approved for a number of years in Israel, where the product was actually invented and spun out the Carl Weizmann Institute, a world-leading center of immunology research and development. So the product was invented in Israel and has been used very successfully in over 300,000 individuals in Israel, half of whom are newborn children. And in that setting, in those 300,000, the vaccine has proved to be very safe and, most importantly, highly effective. It's also approved in a number of minor export markets. Really, we only sell the product currently in Israel and in Hong Kong. But, you know, therein lies the opportunity because this is a highly effective vaccine, achieves some high 90% seroconversion, so in other words, protection rates, post-second vaccination. So a significant advantage over the current standard of care, Engerix-B, in terms of speed to protection, speed of immunity, and is particularly effective in older adults, so particularly those that may be immunosenesced, so over 40 years old, where the immune system begins to wane and weaken, and also particularly effective in those groups who may be at risk, such as chronic kidney disease, end-stage renal failure, overweight, diabetics, etc. So we're really excited about the opportunity to bring this vaccine to the US, Canada, and the European Union. And as such, we have been working since the transaction completed, which led us to acquiring this asset last summer. We completed a meta-analysis of all of the clinical data thus far, have submitted that to the European Medicines Agency, Health Canada, and the FDA. We have been given the green light to be phase three ready now in all three of those regions, so Europe, Canada, and the FDA. And the announcement earlier this week was a very important announcement for us because the FDA have now deemed that we do not need to complete any more clinical trials in phase two. And essentially it is phase three ready. So we are ready to enter into a global program, which will be pivotal registration trials, to hopefully, you know, successfully bring this product to marketing approval in the US, Canada, and the European Union.
Great, great. And so, yeah, you're cutting out a little bit. I'm not sure of the speaker, but Can you talk about some of the current trends right now in the HP sector, and you know how the product positions you to capitalize?
Sure. So I think the opportunity here is that in settings where prophylactic HPV vaccines are used, where compliance is strong, i.e. all three vaccines, and the current standard of care in the pediatric and in the adolescent setting, which is the current standard of care being Engerix-B from GlaxoSmithKline, is perfectly adequate. But that product, Engerix-B, is less effective in older populations and less effective in those at-risk populations that I mentioned earlier. Guidelines have recently been developed in the United States and are increasingly being adopted in Europe, recommending that all diabetics and pre-diabetics, i.e. Obese populations, are vaccinated against HPV, because these are the populations that are at most risk of sort of metabolic and liver function challenge. If that happens, then clearly, if they're exposed to hepatitis B, there's significant risk that they lead to end-stage renal failure, dialysis, etc. So clearly prevention is always better than a cure, and the health economics are overwhelmingly in favour of a more effective vaccine in those populations. And that's where CyberVac fits in. So this is a vaccine that, as I said, achieves in the high 90% protection rate post-second vaccination. And the vaccination schedule is 0, 1 and 6 months. But what that means is that for people requiring rapid protection, or those immunocompromised or immunosenescent groups, then our vaccine, by virtue of inclusion of additional antigens to that that's in GSK's vaccine, makes it a more highly efficacious and immunogenic vaccine. And as I say, this rides on the back of the recommendations and guidelines that have been implemented in the US and for these at-risk patient groups and in Europe. Plus also, there's an increase in need to provide a much more effective vaccine for those in an adult population who may not get the three vaccines or may require protection much quicker. So therefore, healthcare workers, for example, some of whom who cannot be exposed to members of the public until they achieve immunity from hepatitis B, those populations have the opportunity to be protected much quicker by several months with our product, CyberVac.
And what are some of the other factors that you feel make the company and CyberVac unique from some of the other players in the sector?
Yeah, so I think, first of all, CyberVac, from a scientific perspective, is really exciting because it's the only approved vaccine which includes all three surface antigens of the hepatitis B vaccine. And therefore, it is much more highly immunogenic because it is more easily recognized by the human immune system. But in particular, the inclusion of a pre-S1 antigen is particularly critical because that scientific data recently has proved provides a more effective blocking and entry immunity for the hepatitis B vaccine. In addition, our vaccine is only used at half the dose of other vaccines, 10 micrograms and 20 micrograms, and of course it's always better to use a much lower active dose. And last but not least, our vaccine includes alum as an adjuvant, which is recognized as being extremely safe, is in over a dozen approved vaccines, many of which are pediatric vaccines. So I would say CyberVac differentiates both in terms of safety and tolerability against a known adjuvant and a lower active ingredient dose, and as I say, this improved immunogenicity through the scientific design and construct of the vaccine. Other really exciting assets we have in the company, we have a prophylactic congenital CMV vaccine in an overpowered or a significantly powered phase 1 study. Congenital CMV is the biggest cause of birth defects in the 7 major markets. The annual health economic cost of severely impacted births in the US is greater than $2 billion a year and has been recognized as one of the top three infectious disease targets by the ACIP and other public health bodies in the major markets. We're really excited about this vaccine. It's in a study now, phase one, in 125 subjects. And the design of the study will allow us some of course, the primary endpoint is safety and tolerability, which we've recently reported the vaccine is safe and well tolerated. But we have as secondary endpoints some initial indicators of immunological human proof of concept due to the design of the candidate. And we're expecting an interim readout, which is a first look at the data in mid-year 2017, so a few weeks out from now. And also the trial will complete and fully read out by the end of the year. I think there's a lot of really, fundamental biotech investors looking at this, because this area has been an area that's difficult to elicit a strong immunological response, and our preclinical data, certainly, has shown much more potent responses to our vaccine than previously published, attempts. So we're really excited about this. It's really a significant unmet medical need, and we're excited to have a strong-looking candidate in this particular therapeutic area. And last but not least, I'll pivot into using our virus-like particle platform to generate an immuno-oncology candidate. We have a really interesting candidate for glioblastoma, the most common form of brain cancer, and in fact the most fatal form of any cancer. And we know that GBM has been a really difficult target to achieve a therapeutic intervention against. Again, the preclinical data for our candidate looks really strong. We had a very strong pre-IND meeting with the FDA last year. And again, our public guidance is that we expect to submit an IND mid-year this year, and would expect to begin a rolling adaptive phase 1, phase 2A clinical development program in the second half of this year. And due to the really unfortunate nature of glioblastoma, we're going into recurrent GBM sufferers. We would expect to see some proof of concept, some human proof of concept, some 10 to 12 months after that, start of that trial. But also critically, we've set up panels of biomarkers within our clinical trial design, which particularly looks at those biomarkers, the expression of certain chemokines, where it's shown, such as CCL3, where the strong expression of these or the upregulation of these are really important in defeating glioblastoma. So there are three lead candidates. We have many other earlier candidates, but I think, investors should be looking for our public guidance on these three leading candidates over the coming 3 to 4 months.
Certainly, and any other goals and milestones that you didn't cover for the upcoming 6 to 12 months?
No, I think there's a whole series and a number of catalysts and milestones around those three candidates. Assuming we get positive feedback from the FDA, then we would expect to submit an IND for the hepatitis B vaccine for this global phase 3 registration program in the second half of this year.
And what are some of the key drivers there that you wish perhaps investors, better understood about you guys?
Yeah, we came to the market via a number of sort of reverse mergers. And so we didn't do an IPO, and VVI very much flies beneath the radar. We have very strong institutional investors. Perceptive Life Science Advisors are our largest investors. And own some 17-18% of our common outstanding. Our second largest investor is Opco Health, which is a multi-billion dollar healthcare-based company. And then behind that, we have some very for the strong institutional investors. So some, you know, 50, 60% of our stock is held by four investors, and they are fundamental biotech investors. So we've been in quite a strong position, say never done a public offering, but because of that we are beneath the radar somewhat. But I think for biotech investors, they should draw a lot of confidence in the strength of those fundamental investors, all of whom are represented on our board, as being, you know, very, very smart money, which has been very successful in the past. I think also, you know, hepatitis B as a lead asset, I mean, some people think that hepatitis B is done, you know, universal vaccination has been in place in the US for a number of years and a number of the European markets. It's still a huge market. Some 80% or 75% of over 20-year-olds in the US remain unprotected from hepatitis B. As I say, universal vaccination has only been in place in various markets, in the seven major markets between the last 15, 20 years. So there's a huge opportunity, which is absolutely perfect for our product, i.e., our product is more effective in older and at-risk populations. Second thing, I think, is that congenital CMV really is, the public awareness around congenital CMV is very low. As I said, it is the largest cause of birth defects in seven major markets, and impacts, severely impacts, about 1 in 1,000 live births. Now, that sounds a low incidence rate, but these, when it happens, you know, the consequences for the newborn infant and the family are significant. CMV, if it infects immunocompromised subjects, people, and of course the best example of that is the developing fetus, then it can be fatal and it will certainly lead to significant mental development, developmental issues. And these poor children are often born with severe mental retardation, visual and hearing defect. So, you know, in terms of investor opportunity for significant commercial unmet medical needs, you know, both hepatitis B and congenital CMV is not well known, but it does represent CMV, $1 billion a year plus in the US market, recurring opportunity with a big catch-up market. And in the US, if you look at the public forecast for an improved hepatitis B vaccine in these groups, the market forecasts were publicized are anywhere between $400 to $600 million. So not only significant commercial opportunity, but also a very important unmet medical need as far as people are concerned.
Certainly. So once again, joining us today is Jeff Baxter, CEO for VBI Vaccines, which trades on NASDAQ ticker symbol VBIV, as well as on the Toronto Stock Exchange, VBV, currently trading at 434 a share. Market cap is north of 170 million at U.S. And before we conclude here, Jeff, to recap some of your key points, why do you believe investors should consider the company as a good investment opportunity today?
Yeah, so we've really made significant progress over the last 2 years with the advancement of our pipeline. We have been largely beneath the radar, as I say, because of the lack of an IPO or a public offering to get us to this point. And as therefore, I think as these pipeline assets have progressed over the last couple of years, I think over the next 6 months, as you'll see from the publicly available slide deck on our website, there are a number of significant catalysts, very significant catalysts over the next 60 to 90 days.
Well, we certainly look forward to continuing to track the company's growth and report on your upcoming progress. And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to join us today, Jeff, and update our investor audience on VBI. It was great having you on.
Great. Thank you very much, Juan. Thank you.